You know, last week, Pastor Will took us through the access of the tabernacle. It had, if you remember, very limited access into the temple. And remember the words of Hebrews chapter 9, verses 7 through 8. But into the second only the high priest goes, and he but once a year, and not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the unintentional sins of the people. By this the Holy Spirit indicates that the way into the holy places is not yet opened as long as the first section is still standing. You see, throughout the ages of the Old Covenant, there was no direct access to God, period. But as inadequate as that might have been under the old system, it was exceeded by its limited power. Now, the blood sacrifice that the high priest offered only covered the sins of ignorance. Let me explain. There was no provision in the old covenant, in the sacrificial system, for the forgiveness of premeditated sins. Now, premeditation, that's sitting down, thinking about the sins to which you are about to commit. And these sins were considered at that time sins of the high hand. And for there was no remedy to those sins. If we go back into the Old Testament, into Numbers chapter 15, verses 30 through 31, we hear these words. And it's clear cut. But the person who does anything with a high hand, remember, these are premeditated sins, whether he is native, a local, or a sojourner, reviles the Lord, and that person shall be cut off from among his people because he has despised the word of the Lord and has broken his commandment. That person shall be utterly cut off. His iniquity shall be on him. Now, if you were a premeditated sinner, it wasn't good for you, was it? There was no remedy to it for forgiveness. If you sat down and you were premeditating something and thinking it through as to how you were going to get back at somebody or hurt somebody or something like that, there was no remedy for that kind of sin. Remember King David and his premeditated sin with Bathsheba and that cold-blooded murder of Uriah? Whew. The system that was set up had no remedy. And this is what Psalm 51 is all about. David knew that he was a sinner. And David confessed it. These words of Psalm 51. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, and you only, have I sinned, and have done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I have been a sinner from birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. And he knew that there was no sacrifice that he could bring to God. And he goes on to say, you do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in these burnt offerings. So what could David do? He could only come to God with a contrite heart. And the only thing David could do was to throw himself before God's mercy. In Psalm 51, verse 17, we hear these words, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, will you not despise? You see, this is how David was forgiven and how he was saved. By completely throwing himself before God and seeking mercy. You see that in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, the spiritually informed came to understand that their only hope was to have a repentant heart, was to fully confess their wrongdoing. And they learned that it was God's grace that saved them. And so ultimately, salvation rested upon the blood of Jesus Christ. The spiritual limitations of the old system, they went even deeper because, like I said, only the sins of ignorance were forgiven. And even on a Day of Atonement, that was the same way. No one could have a completely clear conscience. Can you imagine that? Not being forgiven for everything? How painful that would be to walk around all the time thinking that you're not forgiven. Now, this does not mean that the Old Testament believers were afflicted with inflamed consciences. It doesn't mean that. And if they were faithful in utilizing the old sacrificial system, they were forgiven for their sins of ignorance, which was no small thing. Some people had less premeditated sins to credit than others, but less real guilt. And a clear conscience was beyond their reach. It was just so close. But yet at the same time, it was so far away. And the old system couldn't work anymore. It was external. It was superficial. And some of these limitations of the old covenant were profound. It had limited access. It had limited power. And so average people, like all of us here, were several layers removed from having access to God's presence. And our conscience, it just never rested. How exhausting that would be. So I say all this, Hebrews is very deep. It's very theological. There's a lot of deep meaning in Hebrews. It's not an easy read. But what does that all mean to us here today in 2017? Well, what it means is that sin alienates us from God. To break or deny God's moral laws is to experience distance from God. And the veil. Remember the veil in the tabernacle? It represented more than any other object in the tabernacle the separation that comes from us and with God. And as long as that veil hung, that separation was symbolized and it existed. Now, we might think that this is a little harsh on God's part. Why would God be so harsh on us that way? But let me give you a little bit better understanding. Let's say you just got the new Madden 18 football game. All right? And you invite a friend over. Bill, you're coming over to my house. All right? You're going to play Madden football with me. Now, we play Madden football, which I bet we'd have a lot of fun doing. But let's say the next day comes, and I go to play Madden football 18, and my game's gone. I know Mom didn't put it away and clean it up. Where did it go? So what does that do with the relationship? What does it do? It makes it further apart, doesn't it? And if someone, maybe for another example, if someone's passively aggressive with you and they're throwing you under the bus with a comment here and a comment there, they may be lying about things. They might be defaming your character. What then happens to the relationship? It separates you. And there becomes a void. There becomes a distance. And if you're on the receiving end of these injustices that have been done to you, what are the emotions? Well, they're the kind that I just talked about with God and with us. There's a separation there. You see, God was making the same point here in the design of the tabernacle and in the design of the temple. The temple and all of the furnishings in the temple were the first step in depicting the sin of humanity, the separation between us and with God. And so the sacrifices that were made with animals and with the blood of the animals, they were never permanent. This process had to be repeated time and time and time again. But the problem was, we just didn't have direct access to God. And there was a separation there. And we desperately needed to be cleansed of our wrongdoing. I like hymns. I like hymns a lot. I grew up with hymns. We sing them from time to time in here. But there's one hymn in particular that reminds me of what we're talking about here today. It's a Charles Wesley hymn, and it's an Advent hymn. Right before Christmas, we usually sing it in traditional worship, called Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. And it reminds me of what we have longed for, a new covenant, a new way to have direct access to God for the forgiveness of sin. So hear these words of this Advent hymn. Come, thou long expected Jesus. Born to set thy people free from our fears and our sins, release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and its consolation, hope of all the earth thou art. Dear desire of every nation. Everybody, Charles Wesley sang, everybody is longing for this, to find the joy of every longing heart. You see, we desire this connection. We desire this connection with God. And because God loves us so much, God came to us, born to set thy people free, to release us, and to give us that access. And that access comes from who? Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Look back with me to verse 11 and 12. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, remember, this isn't brick and mortar now, that is, not of this creation, he entered once and for all into the holy places, not by means of blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, securing an eternal redemption. That access to God was dramatically stated in those few verses. You know, Jesus didn't step into the holiest of places just to go sprinkle some incense and come back a year later. Instead, Jesus came having given his own blood once and for all, sitting down at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, never more to leave us. And everything that is foreshadowed by this earthly tabernacle, the altar, the candlestick, the altar of incense, the Ark of the Covenant, the tabernacle itself, is fulfilled in his new priesthood. And this is beyond any description. In this new covenant, which has the power to forgive, to restore us to new life, is all given to us through the blood of Jesus Christ. It was shed upon the cross for you and for me. And when we experience that forgiveness that comes from God and from Christ, it's God's grace that sustains us. It's God's grace that prods us to love more. It prods us to go out and serve more. It prods us to be more generous than ever before and to live life with a whole new outlook on life. You see, we're no longer bound by sin anymore because it's Christ who set us free. If you really want access to Christ and the forgiveness of your sins, and if you really want that new conscience, just prayerfully imagine Jesus Christ standing in front of you. Extend your hands out humbly and lay your hands on the head of Jesus. What glorious benefits come. What glorious benefits come from the new covenant. We have unlimited access. Hinted at so beautifully by the tabernacle and its liturgy. And think of the shadow, and now it's substance for us. It's in the flesh. And just think of Jesus' access. Think of our access to Jesus Christ. Those words of Ephesians chapter 6 or chapter 2 speak so clear to us. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. You see, Jesus has come. Jesus has come to strip away the old. Jesus has come to strip away the ordinary. Jesus has come to strip away the comfortable in favor of a dynamic and an extraordinary and uneasy new experience for us to live into the body of Christ. And some of us will need to sit down. And we'll need to have a conversation with God. And we'll ask, show me what you're doing, God. I'm tired of playing church. Do you ever get tired of just playing church? Where you come here on Sunday morning, check it off the list, and go home? I know I can get tired at times doing it. But what about you? Are you ready to say, I want more? I want more to this. Are you tired of playing church? Do you want more? For some of you, you might start reading the Bible. Or you might pick it up once a week. Maybe twice. Maybe five times during the week. Some of you may say, I'm ready to start worshiping a little more often. Yeah, the boat can wait. Maybe we'll reschedule a little bit and just go out in the afternoon and on Saturday as well. Maybe some of you will be excited to meet God right here in this place for the first time in your life. Some of us here might strive to make God the number one priority in our lives rather than material possessions. And here on this Commitment Sunday, you might just say, I'm ready. I'm ready to commit my life to God and to the Church of Jesus Christ and to be able to see the good news of Jesus Christ transforming lives. And that the gospel was shared even further. And my good buddy and friend Wes Linder started up a fresh expression not too long ago. And I'll never forget the words of one person at our last fresh expression training for prayer warriors. He stated his name. And he said, I'm new to reading the Bible. And I want to learn more. And I thought to myself that night, what if God never laid on Wes's heart the desire to start a fresh expression of church? Would this person have the opportunity to grow in word and in community? It's amazing. We have to remind ourselves continually that we are here to please Jesus Christ. and that Jesus Christ is not here to please us. Will you be willing to make that shift so that you please Christ and not Christ please you? Let's pray. Lord, we get caught up in a consumer model of life where we want more, where it seems like everything we want in the world revolves around us. But yet, Lord, your way is not of this world. Lord, it's about surrendering self. It's about yielding obedience and faithfulness unto you. And as Chris shared here today, faith without works and without deeds and actions, as Paul writes, is dead. So Lord, instill in our hearts as we on this Commitment Sunday thank you for this new covenant. This new covenant that takes away the old and brings in and ushers in a new way of living. Forgive us, Lord, when we fall short. Forgive us when we fail to glorify you in everything that we do. Forgive us, Lord, when we don't make those sacrifices. So, Lord, as we come forward on this Commitment Sunday, let us come with a cheerful heart, ready to be made new, ready to be changed, ready to be transformed, so that we can go out and do a mighty work for your kingdom. For, Lord, maybe this person at work needs hope, and we are the ones in the catalyst to be used by you to bring a hope and new life to others. Lord, maybe it's a friend in school who's been going through a very tough time, and we're just that hug that they need at the right moment. Oh, Lord, fire us up. Like Chad said, allow us to give of all of ourselves with passion so that we can make a radical change in this world that you so richly blessed us with. This is our prayer. Thank you, Lord, for setting us free. For this we pray in the precious name of the blood of the new covenant, poured out for us and for many for the forgiveness of sin. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.